It's Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 The Hound.
Hey, I'm Rebecca Frazier, and I'm here on The Hound, 96.1 FM. I'm excited to be playing some tunes for you guys today. And with me, I've got an amazing, wonderful banjo player, Mr. Charles Butler.
Hey.
And we are both so glad to be here from Nashville, Tennessee. Would love to play a song that I co-wrote with the wonderful songwriters John Weisberger and Bob Minner. It's called Make Hay While the Moon Shines. One, two, three.
Charles Butler here on Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 The Hound. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. What an honor.
Absolutely. Drove a long way down from Nashville to get here today, and I'm really appreciative. So we're going to talk about your upcoming album in just a little bit and a lot of other exciting stuff that you have coming up this year. So to start us off, I would love to know how you got started in music.
Well, so I actually did two albums with the band Hit and Run out in Colorado during my 20s and ended up marrying one of the band members, moving to Nashville.
Score.
And then kind of thought I was going to put music aside because I really wanted children. So I had two children. I had three pregnancies. Unfortunately, lost the middle child, and I wrote a lot about that on my previous album. But after the first child, my mom encouraged me. She said, I know you feel fulfilled as a mom right now, full time, but I really would like you to set aside time for songwriting at least 3 days a week. In fact, you know what? Here's a little money. Hire a babysitter and set up a scheduled writing time.
There you go.
And that was huge for me because she was like, I'm older than you are. You don't get it. These kids are going to grow up. You're not going to feel this same fulfilled way for the rest of your life. And looking back, that was such an amazing gift, the gift of time, the gift of creativity, because it was hard to step away from my toddler son. I really wanted to be with him, but it evolved into that album that came out in 2013 on Compass Records, When We Fall.
Absolutely.
So I toured quite a bit for that album with the two young children, either in tow in the band van or meeting up with my parents on the Virginia state line because I'm from Virginia. And eventually when that touring cycle ended, spent a lot of time working on the creativity again, the songwriting. That's a big deal for me, putting out original music
Absolutely.
On albums. And so that's, it just, you know, you can't, you can do it all, but you can't do it all at the same time.
Exactly. That's something we all need to learn. But that's wonderful that you have that support system. And oh my gosh, you can't ask for something better when you're working in the music industry, I'm sure, because it's grueling. It's rewarding, but it's grueling. So having that behind you is wonderful. And I'm sure your kids are really happy to have a musician as a mom and are really inspired by you and all the work that you do. I'm serious. I mean, I'm in the arts too. And my mom, she's a smarty farty in science, and just having someone who's doing what you're doing is really amazing.
Actually, I think the grass is always greener because of my kids. I think Charles is laughing because he's a dad as well. I wished for that as well as a kid because my mom was a visual artist. She was a painter, and I was proud of her for that. But my kids, to quote Iris DeMent, when I asked what her daughter thought of her concerts, she was like, "My daughter's polite about it." And that's how my kids are. They're polite.
That's good, at least. So you're from Virginia. Where in Virginia are you from?
From Richmond in the Tidewater area.
Gotcha. Did you have music in your family at all? I know your mom was a visual artist, but how did you discover that you had this passion and talent for songwriting and singing and playing?
So honestly, sitting in the back of a station wagon, back in the late 80s, it was pile the kids in the station wagon with no seatbelt. And probably, you know, you take a long road trip in that manner, which is crazy to think about now. But
you're here. You made it.
We were all lying back there, and I started singing one day, and I was just like, I love this. This feels really good. Mm-hmm. And that was my first, like, introduction to that kind of connected feeling I get when I'm playing and singing. And then eventually moved into piano lessons, guitar, choir, and being the song leader at my summer camp in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and led into being in bands in college and finding this passion for flat picking, which became a little bit of an obsession.
It's a good thing to be obsessed with. So we've got a couple more tunes here on the show today. You're listening to Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 The Hound, and we'll get on into some more tunes.
All right. I'm going to play a tune I wrote with my songwriter friend Rory Carroll. It's called High Country Road Trip, and it's the first track on the new album that I'm releasing in September. The single came out June 11th, and Rory and I actually flew out to Colorado and recorded what felt like an epic Thelma and Louise adventure. The video came out last week, actually. We are driving a blue 1967 Mustang through the mountains of Colorado in this video, and she's got the red hair, so I guess she can claim Gina Davis on that one. But it was about our time in Colorado and that feeling of Highway 285, really, when you are descending into this beautiful vista and really feeling in the moment. And in the song, the person is making a tough decision, deciding whether to stay on this path they were on, which might have been a little bit crooked, or to play it straight. And then in the song, they're just, you know what? I've got this moment right now. I'm just going to enjoy this, and that's okay. So we've got some geography of Colorado in this one. It's called High Country Road Trip. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yesterday I built home some, but today I feel alive.
Windows in Paradise.
That's right.
Which is coming out in just a couple weeks. Is that right? September 13th?
That's right.
Wow. So that's a really exciting thing coming up. And we're going to talk about that here in just a second. And I know that's been a long time coming, as we just talked about. So you've got a lot of great people on that album as well. There's Bela Fleck, Sam Bush, Scott Bestel, lots of really great musicians and more. Who collaborated with you on that one. So can we talk about how the process has been? I mean, what's the timeline for that?
Yeah, so I got together with Bill Wolf. I'd say it's been a few years now. Went down to Virginia for Easter, took the train up to Northern Virginia to meet him in Alexandria. First time I'd ever met him in person.
Wow.
The producer, Bill Wolf, who is pretty much a legend in acoustic circles. He was Tony Rice's engineer, best friend, producer, and was known for albums such as Manzanita and Tony Rice Plays and Sings Bluegrass. He did some David Grisman albums. Yeah. He did work with the Grateful Dead back in the 70s. And he's responsible for some of the audio techniques in acoustic music still used today, mic placement, and some of the ideas that he thought up to make acoustic music sound natural and beautiful. Mm. So people are always asking about, oh, how did he place your mic? And he's very well known in audio circles. He's been mastering for years, hasn't produced or recorded, and I just, on a whim one day, thought about him. I was looking at his name on Tony Rice's stuff and just thinking about what a beautiful job he'd done on my mastering, and called him out of the blue, and he said, well, I haven't even thought about that, but I'm willing to meet up and chat about it. And when we had that first chat, he made some really strong coffee, and we sat out in the backyard, and he had this pensive look on his face, crossed his legs and looked up in the sky, and he's like, well, if we do this, I'd like to call the people that I worked with back in the Tony days, you know, Bela Fleck, Sam Bush, Stuart Duncan. And I'm like, my jaw's kind of like, I don't know. I'm
He's
a little intimidated.
Oh my gosh, wow.
So I kind of sat on that suggestion for a little while and thought about whether that might be too much for me. And then later talked to him again, and he was like, look, this is not about them. It's about you and your songs. It's really just going to make the song sound as good as they can be.
Totally.
And he was referring to my inspiration, which is Dolly Parton, Grass is Blue. It's a very big album.
Wonderful album.
I just love it.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's not necessarily, he's like, what you're hearing is the musicians making this stuff shine, not necessarily even the producer. He's like, whether it's me or not. And he talked me into it, and he called them, and they said yes, and I was amazed, and everybody showed up, and we cut the tracks.
Wow. And were you in the same room for all the recording with all your musicians?
Yes, for most of the tracking, we were at the Pick and Parlor in Nashville. I believe Stuart Duncan couldn't make it that day, so he came in, and he only had the next day free, so he came in for a full day and did everything. And then, of course, with one of the tracks, which we'll talk about next, there's a band in Virginia who re-recorded that one in Charlottesville altogether.
Oh, cool.
So for the first two songs we played, Make Hay While the Moon Shines and High Country Road Trip, the lineup on that one is Bela Fleck, Sam Bush, Stuart Duncan, Barry Bales, with Josh Swift on the dobro, and wonderful harmony singers Shelby Means and Adam Chaffins. But I did record another song, not in Nashville. I recorded it in Charlottesville, Virginia, with a wonderful, wonderful band that of which I've been a fan for many years, Love Cannon.
They do a lot of 80s stuff, is that right?
Right. So they've put out 3 full albums of only 80s hits.
But grassified.
Very grassified, but in like a virtuosic and creative, amazing way.
I love it. Those are always the best. I love a good bluegrass cover, and it's honestly an art in its own. It's great that you have them on your album. Is it just for Borderline that they worked with you on?
Right. So we worked with Love Cannon, and it was a collaborative effort. We planned it a little in advance. I actually thought of the idea of adding a flat picking section in the middle. And once I had that idea, I just, this reel that I had in my head just kind of popped out. And I was so lucky with that. That doesn't always happen. But I was like, I need to write a real in D. And it was just like something popped into my head, transcribed it from my head to the guitar, and sent the voice memo to the guys. I was like, what do you think about this for a middle section? And they were like, that's cool. And I was like, maybe we can modulate the hook to G right before it. And they were like, that's cool. And then I said, maybe we could have a spacey section after the reel. And then they said, yes, let's lead the spacey section back to borderline. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it is a 7.5 minute track with all of these ideas.
But 7.5 minutes of greatness.
Thank you for that. Yeah, Stuart Duncan overdubbed on it, too. And, I mean, the result, for me, it feels epic. It partially is just the good memories of getting together with them. They are wonderful people and musicians. And the leader seemed to be that night was Adam Larrabee, the banjo player. And he was very, just very organized, very thorough. He went home and wrote this multi-page chart for the studio, even though we'd had late at night rehearsal. And he sent everybody a voice memo. And he was like, here you go, everybody. We're tracking tomorrow. And we showed up and cut it.
Wow, that's amazing. And I'm sure just having those great people makes a somewhat intimidating experience just all the more comfortable and amazing. And I hope it has a lot of good memories for you moving forward as you make more music.
Yes, it was wonderful. And actually, I've known several of those guys for years. They were in Old School Freight Train, so they were on the Dave Grisman's acoustic disc. And just being from Virginia myself, I would run into them in picking circles. So, and then Jay Starling is the dobro player. And he is currently in Leftover Salmon.
It's Rebecca Frazier with Charles Butler here on Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 The Hound. Boarding Windows in Paradise is out on all streaming platforms on September 13th. And you heard a little bit of that with that last tune, and then we'll hear a little bit more coming up. So what do we have next?
That's right. So we are going to do Borderline featuring Love Cannon and Stuart Duncan. It's a 7.5 minute track. As I was mentioning earlier, we have a flat picking section in the middle that I wrote, and then it ends on the album. It ends in almost a classical way. So today, somebody pointed out to me that it's Madonna's birthday.
Oh no way!
And this song was her first hit back in 1984, so being 2024 right now.
Wow,
40 years.
That's perfect for today.
That feels
crazy.
Good for today.
Happy birthday, Madonna!
So here's Borderline. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Charles Butler here in the studio on Fiddling Around. So I have a question that I ask to everyone when they come on the show. If you could encapsulate Rebecca Frazier in a 3-song set of songs that aren't yours, what would it be?
Okay, that is a very hard question.
Just trying to throw a curveball at you.
I tend to go with my gut on some things, so I'm just going with my first instinct on this. The first song that popped into my head was a Joni Mitchell song. The song All I Want from her album Blue. There is something about that song that it, the feeling behind it, the camaraderie with her and James Taylor, the beautiful lyrics, the almost the comedy combined with the heartfelt pain.
Totally.
A little bit. I love you when I forget about me. That is the best line ever.
So good.
She talks about, you know, I hate you, but, you know, when I forget about me, I love you. And I think that's really wise. I just love it. And it really inspired me to try to write from a vulnerable place, which I find difficult to do.
Totally.
And not be too cool. Right?
Yeah.
She's never too cool.
Oh, no. No. And yet she is the coolest.
Right. That makes her the coolest.
Exactly.
Good point. So everybody wants to be Joni Mitchell. And I was one of those college people who just fell in love and devoured her catalog. Mm-hmm. Another person whose catalog I devoured when I was developing my taste was Bonnie Raitt. As a youngster, I used to play her albums as I was warming up to go running for cross country team. And I just remember stretching and just being so moved by her beautiful voice. And then in college, devouring her previous catalog. Mm. One song in particular that stood out to me is very vulnerable sounding. And I think maybe this is a theme here.
Vulnerability. I'm here for it.
It's Any Day Woman. This is a Paul Sebel cover she did on her first album, and that's my favorite album of hers. It's Bonnie Raitt, self-titled. It's her with all of her... They went out to a camp and recorded with all of these amazing musicians. It's very live-sounding, very... What's the word? Just very natural, very unproduced feeling.
Raw, yeah.
Raw, thank you. And she just emotes in that track in a way that... speaks to me, and I'm wondering if perhaps this vulnerability theme. I'm playing a lot of high energy bluesy music today.
You are, yeah.
That maybe is less exposed. Maybe that's why I'm wishing I were more exposed and naked for you guys.
And now's the time. Here we go.
Thank you. But I think the third one that's popping into my head is one that makes me cry for some reason. It's Darcy Farrow. I had to go with the Tony Rice, and you would think I would choose a Fast and Furious picking song like Ain't Nobody Gonna Miss Me When I'm Gone. Mm. I taught his solo recently. It's like a knockout solo. Mm. But what gets me is Darcy Farrow. Even when I hear a friend of mine, Jimmy Haynes, cover it, I start crying. There's something very tender and sad about the melody, and on the track, which is recorded on Rice Brothers 2 is the name of the album. Jerry Douglas has this very touching, emotive dobro part. It's painful to my heart. And so I guess that would encapsulate me or who I wish I could be.
I love it. I love it. It's Rebecca Frazier on Fiddling Around. And you've got a couple of shows coming up as we wrap up the summer and get on into the fall season, one of which is a really big one down in Nashville at Station Inn. It's your album release show. Is that on the 10th of September?
Yep.
Yeah.
Tuesday night.
Exciting. Do you have any special plans for that day?
Yes. Actually, I found out long after I'd booked the show that there is a required parents meeting at my son's school.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm going to be interested in having to, let them know. Sorry, can't make it. I have an album release show at the station.
You can do it all, but not at the same time. That's what you said.
So I had asked my kids if they would like to guest with me on 3-part harmony, and, they were deer in headlights. Like, okay, Mom, sure. And I was like, wow, that hurts my feelings that you're not jumping at the opportunity.
But that's a yes.
And then my son found out about this meeting, and I was like, cool, I'll have your advisor drive you after the parents legal consequences meeting for all students and all parents required. So I'll have him drop you by for that three-part harmony, buddy.
It's really important. You gotta be there. That's wonderful. It's really exciting.
So yes, we do have some surprise special guests planned.
Oh, thrilled. Well, what do you have coming up after that once we get the wave of the album release through and through?
Yeah, so we've got... And Charles will be at all of these shows, which is fantastic. And we, by the way, on our shows, we do a lot of Charles's original music. He's got an album out of that. And he recently had me guest on his release, the single Dark Roast, which was awesome. But on his album, the album is Duck's Eye.
Duck's Eye, indeed.
So we've been playing the track Duck's Eye quite a bit live. And as well as Jubilation Lee.
Yeah.
And a Dark Roast, right?
Yeah. Yeah, all my greatest hits.
That's right.
No one's heard of except you and me.
Right. And I'm just like, he says, thanks for putting my tunes in there. I was like, no. Thank you, Charles. These tunes are so beautiful.
Absolutely.
And it's a joy for me to do them. So what are we doing? We are touring around the Mid-Atlantic. We're touring South Carolina, Georgia, and some more Tennessee, some Maryland. And we have Colorado at the Four Corners Folk Festival in Pagosa Springs,
Colorado.
That'll
be so exciting. And when is that?
That one's Labor Day weekend.
Coming up real soon. That's really exciting. Do you have any favorites that you're really, really excited about? Where's your favorite place to stop by on tour?
Oh, that's tough. my favorite place is probably Telluride, Colorado. But Pagosa is right nearby.
Yeah, so you'll be close.
So Pagosa is a top favorite.
Yep. Love that. It's really exciting. It's going to be a big end of the year for you, I'm sure. And I'm happy to follow along with that as we get through the summer season. We've got another tune coming up to almost close us out with Rebecca Fraser and Charles Butler on Fiddlin' Around. So let's hear it.
All right. So we are going to do Canty Reel. It's a guitar instrumental that I wrote, I'd say, several years back. I was picking up my daughter from school, rushing off, and this tune popped into my head. And just being a typical artist, I was like, I've got to get this down on my phone before I go to school. So I didn't have time to play it on guitar, sang the tune into my phone, ran off to get her, and then as soon as I came back in, I recorded it real quick on guitar from what I'd sung. Ended up really liking this melody here, and Charles plays it beautifully. On the album, Bela Fleck and Sam Bush and Stuart Duncan and Barry Bell and Josh Swift play it, and Bill Wolf did a really awesome job producing it, coming up with a cool drone in the beginning, some neat little interplay between the mandolin and banjo, and as we are here today doing it as a duo, Charles will play every part.
I will.
I will be playing on the parts.
The mandolin and banjo interplay, those little lines in the beginning.
All right.
Thank you, Charles. So we're going to pretend we're a full band here and do our duo version of Canty Reel. 1, 2, 3, 4. everybody. This is 96.1 FM, The Hound. This is Rebecca Frazier with Charles Butler on banjo. I've got my guitar, and we have been introducing songs from my brand new album, Boarding Windows in Paradise, which is coming out on September 13th. I'm super excited to be previewing some songs with you guys that the world has not heard yet. And I really appreciate Callista for hosting us today. She's doing an awesome job. I'd love to sing y'all to say goodbye a song that I wrote with Lisa Ashman. She's a wonderful songwriter in Nashville. She was a physicist formerly and a mom, and she has become a full-time professional songwriter. She has probably over 1,000 songs to her name, and my band Hit and Run used to cover her songs. I fell in love with her material and had the nerve to ask if she would like to co-write with me. So she agreed, and I had her over on the 4th of July one day and said that I would love to do a train song. So we did it. But knowing her, knowing me, it wasn't just about a train. It was kind of also a little bit metaphysical for us. It's about time, how it warps, how you can kind of hop off time when you're not really engaging with life, when you're not moving on, when you're not reframing yourself with your circumstances. And our metaphor for that was a mayor who was introducing the brand new train system in his town. I actually read this story in a news article and it stuck with me. As the train was barreling toward him, in his mind he was perceiving the speed of horses. And as he stood there on the track, he was run over as he was introducing it and was killed. So that was our metaphor for, you know what? You gotta hop on the train. You gotta stay with time or you're gonna get left behind or murdered. It's called Train is Movin'.